This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
It's October, and what does that mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. See how much you could save. Get a quote today at geico.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump has the coronavirus. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Friday, October 2nd. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Breaking news overnight. President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump have tested positive for COVID-19. They've begun their quarantine.
What are the implications of the virus on the president, who's 47 years old and is considered mildly obese? Here are the CDC data.
The financial markets are absorbing the coronavirus news from the White House. We'll track how futures and overseas markets are reacting.
And keeping on our COVID theme, the disinfectants used by airlines that come with questions.
It contains a chemical that has been linked to asthma and respiratory issues, and a lot of scientists have real concerns about this. What's not known is it different if you spray the whole cabin multiple times a day as opposed to wiping it down once a month or even once overnight.
Thanks, Scott. Scott McCartney at the Wall Street Journal explains the chemicals used to clean airplanes and what scientists say about those chemicals. Earlier in the headlines, by the way, I think I said the president was 47. He is 74. I flipped those numbers. And again, considered mildly obese. President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump have tested positive for COVID-19. The announcement last evening came hours after Hope Hicks, a top advisor who traveled with him earlier this week, had also tested positive. Mr. Trump was on Fox News by phone after being tested, but before learning results.
She knows there's a risk, but she's young, and I just went out for a test. They just do it. It'll come back later, I guess. And the First Lady also, because we spend a lot of time with Hope and others.
White House physician Sean Conley said in a memo released in the wee hours of this morning that the president and First Lady were both well at this time and expected the president to, quote, continue carrying out his duties without disruption while recovering. The president and First Lady plan to remain at the White House while in quarantine. Mr. Trump tweeted, "We will get through this together." The president's age of 74 makes him particularly vulnerable to the virus. The CDC says people in their 60s and 70s are at higher risk for severe illness than people in their 50s. Investors seem uneasy about the news of President Trump testing positive for COVID-19. U.S. stock futures fell and bonds rallied, presenting investors with fresh political uncertainty just weeks before the election. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Futures tied to the S&P 500, NASDAQ, and Dow Jones Industrial Average were down early this morning, suggesting that U.S. markets could open lower. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note also fell. Bond yields fall as prices rise. A research manager for stocks at FSM1.com in Singapore told the Wall Street Journal that the market's worry is, will the government be able to function normally, and what happens to government stimulus plans given there was no deal yet on Capitol Hill. Elsewhere, oil prices extended losses to about 3% on Friday. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Eli Lee, head of investment strategy at Bank of Singapore, told the Journal that the ultimate effect on the election wasn't clear. He said one possibility was that this could help Democratic nominee Joe Biden hold on to his lead, lowering the risk of disputed election results. But he also noted that British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's popularity rose after he caught COVID-19. More on the broader implications of this overnight breaking news of the president testing positive for COVID-19 from Sudeep Reddy, managing editor at Politico. Sudeep, give us political and financial reactions overnight.
It is quite the event. This is a president who had spent much of his year dismissing the virus and downplaying it. And for this to happen with an October surprise fashion a month before Election Day, it is quite the bombshell to come out. It completely transforms the election. It completely transforms how Trump will be seen in his final year of his presidency. And it is already having some implications for financial markets with a a pretty sudden dip in the early moments after the word first broke.
Right. So when things first broke, futures were down. What did overseas markets do?
You could tell there was a pretty sharp drop in markets. Markets had not been fully processing the implications of Trump being down in the polls. This seems to have jolted them. It was surprise news. It's not really clear yet whether there's any lasting implication for the president. He appears to be in good spirits. It's not clear yet whether he's got any symptoms, whether he will come out of this just fine, or will go and have some of the problems so many other people in their 70s have had with this.
All right. So he and the First Lady will be in quarantine at the White House, I presume. But the question, I guess, that many observers have is, can the government function normally? Especially investors, they'd like to know that, correct?
Yes, of course, that is a big question people will have about all of this. I think it's fair to say that most of the government will be operating just fine. There is going to be a fair amount of upheaval from just the uncertainty of what it means to have the leader of the administration in this position hobbled in effect in the final months of the year when there's a lot of attention on the coronavirus response. And so there will be a lot of questions about that and what it means to not be able to go out and about.
We're speaking with Sudeep Reddy, managing editor at Politico, talking about the breaking news overnight that President Trump has tested positive for COVID-19. Do investors say, or world leaders, anticipate a worst case scenario in which the president could be incapacitated by this, or worse, die?
Well, that is a question that, of course, pops into everybody's mind in a moment like this. The president will be presenting himself, of course, as doing just fine. But we do have a chain of command in the United States and a succession plan. And Mike Pence, at the moment, does not seem to have interacted much with the president in recent days. So he would be the one to take over if President Trump were incapacitated by this. This was contemplated earlier in the year, given the lax behavior from the president and people around him in the White House, not wearing masks, not social distancing.
Right. All right. So if that's a worst case scenario, best case scenario is that health-wise, the president sails through this with minimal symptoms and has an easy recovery. Then what?
Yeah, this is the big question for the president. He's obviously claimed that he's in great health. His last report from his physician put him just over the line between overweight and obese. So he's not necessarily in as good a shape as he claims. He has previously taken drugs for cholesterol, but he is 74 years old. That's a high risk group. Plenty of people have come out of it without any issues, but there are a number of people who have long-lasting symptoms from coronavirus, even if they survived. So that will be the question through all of this.
Thanks, Sudeep. Sudeep Reddy, managing editor at Politico. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday. Breaking news this morning, President Trump has tested positive for COVID-19. We'll have more on that in just a moment. Meanwhile, the president's campaign is calling on debate organizers not to change the rules for the next two face-offs with Democrat Joe Biden. Frank Fahrenkopf, co-chairman of the Commission on Presidential Debates, said yesterday that he hoped to make an announcement in the next 48 hours. but didn't offer more details. The Wall Street Journal says changes might include allowing the moderator to shut off a candidate's microphone. What's not clear right now is what the president being in quarantine will mean for the next debate, which is scheduled for October 15. Elsewhere, the president last night condemned white supremacist groups, clarifying remarks during Tuesday's debate.
Let me be clear again. I condemn the KKK. I condemn all white supremacists. I condemn the Proud Boys. I don't know much about the Proud Boys, almost nothing, but I condemn that.
He was on Fox News. Also from the campaign trail, Joe Biden has reversed course, announcing his staffers will be knocking on doors in the final weeks of the campaign. He previously said campaign door knocking in a pandemic puts lives at risk and is sort of useless. This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. If you're the type that always hated the hassle of going to the post office, well, now you have the best excuse ever to stay away, right? But thanks to Stamps.com, you can do it easily without slowing down your business. Stamps.com makes it a no-brainer for saving time and money. Use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail. Once your mail is ready, just leave it for your carrier, schedule a pickup, or drop it in a mailbox. It's that simple. It's all the mailing and shipping services you need right where you are. Plus, you'll save money with discounted rates, like 5 cents off every stamp, and up to 62% off of shipping rates from UPS. There's no better time to try it. Right now, our listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and the digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Gordon. That's stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Gordon. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump says he and First Lady Melania Trump have tested positive for the coronavirus. Trump's positive test came just hours after the White House announced that senior aide Hope Hicks came down with the virus after traveling with the president several times this week. Trump on Fox.
She's a hard worker, a lot of masks. She wears masks a lot, but she tested positive.
The president's physician says the president and first lady are both well at this time and plan to remain at home within the White House during their convalescence. The announcement threatens to transform the final month of a volatile campaign that Trump intended to frame around a message of success in defeating the virus.
Number two.
President Trump's campaign has followed through on a threat to sue Philadelphia, filing papers in court last night over city officials preventing campaign representatives from watching people registering to vote or filling out mail-in ballots in election offices there. The lawsuit comes amid Trump claiming that he can only lose the crucial battleground state of Pennsylvania if Democrats cheat, and suggesting that the Democratic stronghold of Philadelphia needs to be watched closely for election fraud.
Number three.
A judge has temporarily lifted a visa ban on a large number of work permits, undercutting a measure that the Trump administration says protects U.S. jobs. The judge says his ruling applies to members of organizations that sued the administration, the Chamber of Commerce, National Association of Manufacturers, National Retail Federation, TechNet, a tech industry group, and Intrax Incorporated, which sponsors cultural exchanges. The injunction, which lifts the ban while the case is being litigated, is a setback for the administration's efforts to limit legal immigration. An audio recording of grand jury proceedings that ended with no criminal charges against police officers for Breonna Taylor's death is expected to be released this morning. A court in Louisville ruled that the usually secret proceedings should be made public by noon today. Well, if you're booking a room in Sacramento, it's going to cost you a pretty penny. CheapHotels.org says the average price for a double room in Sacramento is $131, the highest price in the country. Other expensive hotel stays can be found, surprisingly, in Cincinnati, Phoenix, Boston, and Pittsburgh.
All right. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We've heard for years that it's important to have a diversified portfolio, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that kind of thing. But if you've ever looked at a breakdown of the most successful portfolios, you'll typically see real estate. So why isn't it one of the first asset classes you consider when you're looking to diversify? Well, simple. It hasn't been available to investors like you and me until now, thanks to Fundrise. Whether you're new to real estate investing or a veteran, Fundrise can help. Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high-quality, high-potential real estate as easy as investing in your favorite stock or mutual fund. Fundrise manages more than $1 billion in assets for more than 130,000 investors with a team of real estate professionals that carefully vets real estate projects. Start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's FUNDRISE.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. Fundrise.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Top story this morning. President Trump and the First Lady have tested positive for COVID-19. We'll have further analysis in a few minutes. Meanwhile, airlines in the U.S. are using higher amounts of some chemicals to show their planes are safe from the coronavirus. But Scott McCartney, travel writer at the Wall Street Journal, says the unknown long-term effects of these antiviral sprays concern some scientists. Scott, what did you discover?
Well, we went back and asked each airline what they were using, and it turns out that they're almost all using the same two chemicals. And one of them is questionable in the quantities that they're using. It contains a chemical that has been linked to asthma and respiratory issues, and a lot of scientists have real concerns about this. What's not known is, I mean, this has been approved for a long time for use in airplanes, but what's not known is it different if you spray the whole cabin multiple times a day as opposed to wiping it down once a month or even once overnight? Never just doused the cabin like this before. And so there are a lot of unknowns, a lot of questions about this.
You know, I was just looking at the picture that accompanied your story, at least in the online version. And here's a worker with his backpack full of chemicals on in a full-on plastic suit with a mask, goggles, and a face shield with gloves on, spraying a hose with stuff coming out of the hose onto the seats. And I'm thinking, right, now I'm going to go sit in that with no plastic suit on, face shield, or goggles, right? It just the picture seemed to capture everything here. Like, I'm going to go sit in that for a couple hours now on a flight?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. Now, what the manufacturers say, what the airlines say, is it dries very quickly and, does its job killing the virus, and then you get on the airplane 10 minutes later, and you're good to go. But that is exactly the issue of is there lingering stuff in the air that flight attendants might breathe? They got on the airplane first. The passengers might breathe. Some of the scientists I talked to said, this is not an issue for the infrequent traveler, and we're all kind of infrequent travelers right now, right? Yeah. But this is an issue for frequent travelers, and this certainly is an issue for airline crews who spend a lot of time in that cabin. And so that's the thing. These things come with very specific warnings. It's called the safety data sheet. The EPA rates toxicity. The chemical that is most suspect in this is rated at an EPA level 2 for health risks. 1 is the worst. Now the manufacturer says, well, that's at the concentrated level. And when you dilute it, it's down to level 4. But at the same time, the point is you dilute it, but you're spraying it between every flight. And so it does the concentration sort of, build up during the day? Yeah. We don't know.
Thanks, Scott. Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes after the hour. There are two kinds of small business owners: old schoolers who need to physically go to a bank and get charged unnecessary fees, and then there's you. For you, there's Aslo, a free business checking account with invoicing, bill pay, and money transfers, plus no minimum balance, no fees, and no minimum deposit. You'll never get charged maintenance or overdraft fees or have to navigate a phone system that wastes your time. Just go to azlo.com/deal and apply in as little as 10 minutes, not the days or weeks it can take a walk-in branch. And with Aslo's free instant funding feature, you can deposit up to $1,000 and access it instantly. That's one of the reasons Money Magazine called them the best business banking option for freelancers and entrepreneurs. Sign up right now with no minimum deposit at aslo.com/deal and get a free copy of Aslo's Small Business Starter Guide, spelled AZLO.com/deal, and sign up with a free Small Business Starter Guide and no minimum deposit. aslo.com/deal. Aslo is owned by BBVA USA, member FDIC.
The top stories and expert interviews that make sense of what you care about. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday, October 2. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump and the First Lady test positive for COVID-19. Amazon has announced that more than 19,000 workers have also tested positive for coronavirus. We get the September jobs report today from the Labor Department. Red flag warnings about extreme wildfire danger remain for large portions of Northern California. In sports, Broncos over the Jets in Thursday night football, and the Vietnam vet whose ID tag was returned to his widow in North Dakota after it was discovered in Russia. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell's semi-annual sale is on with up to 45% off business laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors, along with servers and electronics, all with free shipping. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL, or visit dell.com/business deals. New applications for unemployment benefits in the U.S. fell slightly last week, but remained between 800 and 900,000 for the fifth straight week. The Labor Department says weekly initial claims for jobless benefits fell by 36,000 to a seasonally adjusted 837,000 in the week ended September 26th. Behind the numbers now with Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, help us process the data.
Well, it's marking further improvement if you're looking at the programs that are administered by all the 50 states. We saw a decline there week over week, but the level is still extremely high. And if we had seen this in any given week, much less over the course of 28 consecutive weeks dating back to early March, you'd say, what in the world is going on out there? And unfortunately, we know the answer to that. And it's worth noting also that it's not just the programs that are administered by the states. The pandemic unemployment assistance program also had a significant increase in the latest week that was reported. As we look across the variety of states, whereas in some weeks we might have seen increases across the board, particularly in some of the key states like New York, New Jersey, California, Florida. In this case, it was more of a mixed bag. So, you know, obviously we're still on pins and needles with respect to where the economy is, how COVID's behaving, how companies and employees are reacting to all that. But in one week, looking at this set of numbers, we seem to be somewhat stable, and that's the kind of indication we want to get. We obviously want to make further improvement.
How about these eye-popping layoff numbers from the likes of the airlines, Allstate Insurance, throw Disney in there? How will these begin to add up, I guess, and if impact these numbers?
Well, and here we are at the beginning of October, and we know that as the benefits of the CARES Act basically expired, there was a reduction in, or an elimination of incentive for these firms that have taken part in the payroll protection program or specific aid packages to keep their employees on. And so that's what we have with the 32,000. What appear to be layoffs or furloughs.
We're speaking with Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com, talking about the initial jobless claims falling for the week ended September 26 to 836,000, still elevated. I saw a note that said the bulk of the job gains came from May through July. How alarming is that?
So basically, over the last 4 months, we've seen a falling trajectory of job recovery or gains. And I think that, you know, we did have a rather big snapback in the early part of this. We'll see a big snapback in third quarter GDP, but by the end of the year, it's widely expected that GDP for the full year will be negative. So that tells us that growth will not yet be fully restored by the end of December if expectations hold true.
Wow. All right, so return to a subject you touched on briefly, kind of the lack of stimulus that's come out of Congress in terms of another round here. Are there just more desperate warning signs for this? Is that what some of these jobless claims numbers reflect?
Well, it's remarkable that now we're about 3 months since Congress and the president should have agreed, if they were going to do something, another round of aid, because the previous package began to see some of the benefits expire at the end of July. And so here we are in October, and there's a new sense of urgency, I think, not only because of the fresh layoffs that are being announced and the risk of further such job cuts, but also, frankly, because the election is just a month away. That has been, to some degree, one of the impediments to having them put aside their partisan differences and agreeing on something that's actually for the good of the American people. So I do think that these discussions that now do seem to be underway between Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and House Speaker Pelosi do bring the hope that further aid can be agreed to. I think, once again, the stumbling block will likely be the Senate, where there is a higher level of reticence with respect to spending more. And basically that's where things ended not that long ago, where basically a $500 billion package did not advance out of the Senate because of Republicans' failure to even pass their own legislation.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Hamrick, Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, even on a day of very big and serious news, we try to find the lighter and weirder side of things. For starters, we take you to Ridge Manor, Florida, where the much-publicized woes for the post office appear to have cost a woman $1,000. Sue Burgess told local TV in Tallahassee that she won the money in a second-chance lottery drawing in July, but isn't getting her prize because the certified letter she sent to Florida's lottery headquarters never arrived. She says lottery officials told her, no ticket, no prize. The tracking information shows the ticket did arrive at a Tallahassee post office on August 12th, but the online tracking shows the ticket was never delivered to the lottery office. In a statement to the station, the Postal Service offered an apology to Burgess for any, quote, inconvenience.
What?
no money, but in, you know, apology for inconvenience.
So there's a stamp, I guess, on her... Well,
it was a certified letter, so
yeah.
She went the certified letter route because she thought that that would be more safe.
Sure.
We always assume that.
Yes.
And it did show up in Tallahassee, but then what happened to it after that? We have no idea.
Nobody knows. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and of course she has no proof otherwise that she won.
Right. I guess you can send a certified envelope. There's actually no proof that there's a ticket inside what
right.
She had actually mailed.
Right,
I see. Yeah,
right, yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah. So they don't know. I mean, she could be making all this up, but yeah. It sounds pretty specific for her to be making all this
man.
Up. Lottery officials did say that if it does show up eventually, you know, they will give her the money,
okay.
Even if it's past the due date or
all
whatever.
Right.
So as long as it shows up eventually, maybe it will in a month or two next year or who knows, but they will give her the money eventually.
Wow. I wonder if that means now she will not be sending any certified mail out of this particular office.
Yeah. My guess is that is true. She's probably soured on that. And you might think that TikTok and Fleetwood Mac would have little in common, but this is 2020 and stranger things have already happened. An Ohio man named Nathan Apodaca has managed to triple the sales and double the streams of Fleetwood Mac's hit Dreams after posting a viral video featuring the song to TikTok. The 22-second clip is eerily simple. It's just Apodaca riding a skateboard down a highway, sipping on a container of Ocean Spray Cran Raspberry Juice with the song playing in the background. Then in the final seconds, he starts lip-syncing to the 1977 hit with gusto. Apodaca's TikTok traversed the internet from TikTok to Twitter to Instagram, eventually making it as far as the members of Fleetwood Mac, with the band tweeting, "We love this," from its official Twitter account. And they have good reason to love it. Sales of the song nearly tripled after Apodaca posted the video on Saturday, and streams more than doubled with a 242% increase in first-time listeners of the song and an over 1,000% increase in Shazams for the song.
Wow, that's impressive. The Dreams comes from one of my favorite albums.
Yes.
Perhaps my favorite album of all time.
Yes, we knew you would enjoy this.
Rumors. Yeah.
How did this guy beat you to this is what I want to know. You should have been on TikTok lip-syncing to Fleetwood Mac.
That is stunning. By the way, to say he was lip-syncing
is
a little bit of a stretch.
Okay.
I know the words to about every Fleetwood Mac song.
He was a little off.
He did not know the words. He kind of knew the syllables and stuff and the sounds, but he didn't actually know the lyrics.
But he is riding a skateboard, so, you know, got to give him some credit for that.
Wow. Plus the Kryn raspberry juice, by the way. Terrific with vodka.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just for the record. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour.
When it comes to mobility, Michigan is making what the rest of the world hasn't even thought of yet. Our state is home to two world-class autonomous vehicle testing sites, and we're first in the U.S. for mobility-related patents. With over 500 miles of roadway equipped for connected vehicle testing, it's no wonder that everyone is moving to where it all started. So if you're ready to move into the future with your mobility business, see how we can help at planetm.com/pure-opportunity.
Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals. Thanks for spending time with us. President Trump has tested positive for the coronavirus. He joins a group of about 7 million other Americans. Here's what we know about the usual course of the disease. About 40% of all people who are exposed don't have any symptoms at all. It's too early to know if the president will be among them. USA Today says there's increasing data that people infected with COVID-19 who show symptoms have higher viral loads than those without symptoms. If Mr. Trump was first exposed to the virus on Wednesday, it's still very early for him to begin exhibiting symptoms. Most people who are symptomatic begin to feel sick within 11 and a half days. The CDC says in rare cases, it can take even longer. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump says he and First Lady Melania have tested positive for coronavirus, plunging the country into further upheaval and uncertainty just over a month away from Election Day. The White House physician says the president and First Lady are both well at the moment. In a tweet early this morning, Trump said, "We will begin our quarantine and recovery process immediately. We will get through this together." Trump's positive test came hours after the White House announced senior aide Hope Hicks came down with the virus. Trump on Fox earlier in the evening.
She knows there's a risk, but she's young, and I just went out for a test. They just do it. It'll come back later, I guess. And the First Lady also, because we spend a lot of time with Hope and others.
Number two.
Democrats controlling the House narrowly passed a $2.2 trillion COVID-19 relief bill last night. A move that came as top-level talks on a smaller, potentially bipartisan measure dragged on toward an uncertain finish. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We want an agreement, but it's got to meet the needs of the American people. And there are a lot of places right now where the offer by Secretary Mnuchin doesn't do that.
The House bill passed 214 to 207 without any Republicans in support and puts lawmakers no closer to actually delivering any aid.
Number three.
Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett signed a 2006 newspaper ad sponsored by an anti-abortion group in which she said she opposed abortion on demand and defended the right to life from fertilization to the end of natural life. The ad appears to be the most direct expression of Barrett's opposition to abortion. It was not included in materials Barrett provided to the Senate Judiciary Committee for her pending nomination. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has issued a proclamation that will reduce the number of mail-in ballot drop-off sites in the state to one per county. Abbott says the change would strengthen voting safety in Texas. While the proclamation does little to smaller counties, it has a significant impact on counties with larger populations. Harris County, home to Houston and the third largest county in the country, will lose 11 established drop-off sites. Another warning about exotic pets. The CDC says two salmonella outbreaks affecting dozens of people in multiple states have been linked to pet hedgehogs and bearded dragons. 12 people have been hospitalized.
Do you know why that happened, Jen?
No.
Do you know why that happened? Because it's 2020.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why this happened.
Yes,
even exotic pets. Thanks. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. An Army identification tag lost by an American soldier when he was wounded by a grenade blast in Vietnam has been returned to his widow after it was found by an American traveling in Russia who purchased it from a vendor in Moscow and gave it to the Department of Veterans Affairs. Ronald Hepper, nicknamed Cowboy, voluntarily enlisted in the Army in 1967 after high school and served in the 196th Light Infantry Brigade He'd been in Vietnam a few months on June 11, 1969, when he was injured by a hand grenade. The blast blew off his boots, where he had placed a set of dog tags. Afterwards, he woke up in a hospital without his boots or tags. He spent 3 months in an amputee ward, but doctors were able to save his legs, which were filled with shrapnel. He was awarded the Purple Heart and returned home to Isabel, South Dakota. Mr. Hepper and his wife moved to Bismarck, North Dakota, a few months before his death to be closer to relatives. He died in 2007 at age 58. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something you don't. Get a quote at geico.com.